was here last week? Who was? Okay, put your hand down. Who wasn't here last week? Okay. Good. So we got some fresh ears and we got some ears that are already here. That's cool because, well, that's the whole point of doing a recap. So last week we talked about how to keep the fire burning. Ask me that question. How do you keep the fire burning? Listen. A lot of y'all came to camp. A lot of y'all got touched, like God messed up. A lot of y'all like had these moments at the altar, whether it be on the first day, second day, third day, God showed up. And even if you didn't go to camp, God be showing up and it touches your life and you're like, oh snap, God touched my life. Who's ever had that moment where you're like, man, I know that God just did something inside of me? Huh? Some of y'all like, oh, yeah, I guess so. I mean, Y'all, listen. When God does something big in y'all, when God does something life-changing, when you have this moment with God where you feel like, man, he just fixed everything that I was going through inside my heart. When he addresses the lies that you've been believing and he just reveals his love and his truth and you're like, oh my goodness. Or when he says, hey, he just starts talking to you and speaking to you about your life, about your future. When someone prays for you and you just feel the love of God, the power of God, the spirit of God on you, you're like, oh my goodness. But so many times we get that and we're like, that happened, but what's next? We get like that. We have this moment with God and we're like, woo. And 2 weeks later, we're like, what, where did it go? So the question is, okay, how do you build off of the encounter with God? How do you build off of what you feel like God spoke to you? A lot of things happened at camp. God released like a spirit of revival. Like, man, there's been some things that y'all kids have said. There's been some passions that have been stirred up to see God do some crazy things in your life and in your school and in your world around you. Cool stuff. On Wednesday, we're doing this series called Hello, My Name is Revival. cool picture thing, you know. Hello, my name, yo. You should, like, legit, Pastor Josh is killing it. Y'all should listen to that. But we're kind of both covering two things at the same time when it comes to how to keep the fire burning, how to have a lifestyle of revival. It comes back to this. Leviticus 6:12-13 says this. It says this. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Say, never let the fire go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offering on it. He will then burn the fat off of the peace offerings on it. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. You see, this is Moses talking. Moses had this crazy encounter with God in the middle of a desert. He saw a bush that was just a regular old bush, but it was on fire and it wasn't being consumed. He stared at that thing like, oh, wait a minute, that's just a bush. Why isn't it getting burned up? It's clearly something's up with this bush. Why is the fire not like killing it? Okay, let me see what's going on with this bush. And that was a moment where he encountered God. He heard God's voice and said, Moses, this is holy ground. That's the moment where Moses went from being a guy who was just depressed and sad and 80 years old on the side of the desert to Moses being commissioned to be the leader of Israel and to lead his people out of Egypt. That happened with an encounter with fire. We talked about last week that God is a God who is a consuming fire. That's what Hebrews 12:9 is. Like, God is a consuming fire. You see the sun, you're like, oh, snap. Well, that's kind of like God, but God's even more of on fire than the sun. What does that mean? God's a consuming fire. That meaning this, that man, he is light itself. God is love, and his love is like fire. He is truth. He is holy. He is a consuming fire. And when we get touched by God, man, a fire gets deposited in us. A fire gets started in us. And so Moses is commanding and instructing the Israelites that, hey, the fire on the altar cannot go out. So how do you keep the fire burning? We can just break this down in our own life. How do you keep the fire burning? Number one, put yourself around fire. That's what we talked about last week. Number one, put yourself around fire. What do I mean by that? Listen. How do you keep fire? Well, you have to be around fire. And you know what the Bible says is fire? You know what the Bible says is light? Boom, this thing. How do you keep the fire of God on your life? You got to open up this book, read this book, and let this thing be in your heart. I'm talking about thinking upon on this scriptures right here. Bible says this, that man, his word is like fire. Bible says that his word is a lamp unto your feet, a light to your path. This thing will fuel what God put inside of you. This thing right here, when you put yourself before this thing, this word, you're gaining a lot more than just some head knowledge. Y'all got to get out of this mindset that this is about learning something. Y'all are in school pretty much all the time. And so you think when it comes to books, when it comes to information, man, I just got to learn. This is about learning and whatnot. But this is more about knowing than learning. Again, John 17:3, this is eternal life that you may know. You got to know this thing. You got to know him as a person. So put yourself around fire. Read the word. Pray. Have time with God where you pray and you worship. And put yourself, again, around people who have fire. You're going to have a decision where you're going to have to make where you, man, you can hang out with the same friends that you've always hanged out, who you know that's like, ain't no good. And you like, man, every time I'm with Johnny, I always do stuff like Johnny. And Johnny always in trouble. I can't tell y'all enough how many times I like put myself in really dumb situations. Like I went to court for a friend for something that I didn't even do that he did, but he told the cop it was me. That was messed up, ain't it? Listen, y'all like, man, well, my friends aren't like that. Listen, show me your friends, I'll show you the future. That's a saying that I've heard all my life, and that's the truth. If you want to be on fire for God, put yourself in proximity, have relationship with people that are on fire for God. People in this room, like, that's why we have house parties. Have community with people that you see in their life that you're like, man, I want that. So, number one, put yourself around fire. Number two, make an altar. Says this, the fire on the altar must never go out. Listen, the altar moment is not at your church. The altar moment isn't after me done being preaching and I say, if you feel like you're this, come to the front and we're gonna lay hands on you. You know. That's not the altar moment. The altar is a place where you sacrifice and a place where you have communion. What do I mean by that? You see, an altar in the Old Testament was the place where they would sacrifice offerings. Mainly like animals for atonement, for forgiveness of sin. They would sacrifice, which goes into our third thing of how to keep the fire burning. Bring the sacrifice. That's you. And number four, it's being consistent. When it comes to the altar and the sacrifice, this is what I mean by make an altar and be the sacrifice. Listen, when it comes to the fire of God, when it comes to you being the sacrifice, it's this. The fire of God is burning everything that's not you. It's me in the morning. I'm opening up my Bible, being by myself, and I'm having this moment with God where I'm reading the word and I'm letting the word go inside my heart. I'm letting the word be in my mind. And I'm saying, man, I want to look like this. So God, whatever that's not you, let your word burn away. man, my pride, my lying, my anger, my insecurities, my fear, my sin, let that fire burn it away. You're the sacrifice. And in return, it's like, yo, God, the fire, your fire, let it be burned bright in me. Let it burn bright in me so other people can see. So we're about to go in a little bit more in depth when it comes to how to keep the fire burning. I just want you to close your eyes real quick. Just want to pray. That was the recap. Just want you to close your eyes. Just hear my voice. God, matter of fact, put your hand on your heart. God, awaken our hearts today. Holy Spirit, let this word amplify in our hearts. Let this word, Lord, touch our hearts. Let it pierce our hearts. God, every truth that you're saying today, God, let it go deep. Let it be planted, Lord, on good soil. Lord, let us not just take this stuff and just put it in our mind and say, well, that was good. God, no. Touch our lives so that we can change. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to know you. We want to know your heartbeat like we were singing. So, God, let your word, man, go deep. Open up our eyes. Open up our ears like never before. We want to see you clearly. We want this light to shine brightly. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God desires you to be on fire, and he desires that that fire never go out, because he's a consuming fire, and he wants you to be on fire. That's good. But also, we're in a dark, dark place called Earth. Like, world's kind of dark right now. Like, listen, y'all, a little bit like, y'all ain't dumb, y'all ain't slow. Like, you go outside, you're like, oh my goodness, why is everybody acting like this? y'all went to middle school, dear God. Middle school be like, yo, we went from being elementary kids just wanting to learn and know about and go outside and play kickball and to this thing in middle school, like everybody's mean, everybody's angry, everybody's prideful, everybody's just making fun of each other, everybody ain't got no love, everybody's just doing whatever they want, everybody's just being out, like outside the box bad. Like, yo, why are we fighting teachers? I remember I was in my school, right? And I'm like, I'm sitting down with, and I remember middle school. I'm sitting down and I'm seeing this like dude just talking, just out the wazoo, disrespectful to teachers. And they got up and about to fight the teacher. I'm like, yo, man, like we in middle school. This is middle school. In high school, I go to high school. And I'm like, yo, that's even worse. I'm like, dear God, not like, what's going on? Listen, our world is dark. You look on TV, it's dark. Everybody's living for themselves. Nobody's caring about people. Everybody's living for their own pleasures. Everybody's just blind because it's so dark and there's no light. So God desires you to be on fire so that people can see him. So that people can see the light. You were touched by God, and the fire of God was put inside of you for a reason. It wasn't just for to have this moment of, oh God, yeah. It was to, man, God, you touched my heart. I want to show this light in my school. I want to show this light to the people who don't know you. I want to show this light to anywhere I go. It's not going to be this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. No, I don't want a little light. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want a little light. A little light ain't good for nobody. You need the whole room on who's lit, that's lit. If we turn all the lights off and we just had this little light and we're just congregating like, hey, we're just going to read this Bible and be together. No, we need the whole room on with lights. We need every single lamp in here to be on so that we can see, right? Listen, that's you. You need to be like these lamps, on. And life will try to snuff out that light. Life will try to snuff that flame out so that you can be dark just like everybody else. This is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. He said, Jesus, again, declaring, you are the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. That's a big statement, ain't it? You know what's crazy? God's first words in the Bible in Genesis is what? Let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Let there be light. There was light. Jesus is the light of the world. He comes into the world. The world extremely dark. He lives a perfect, sinless life. Shows everybody who God is. Brings the kingdom. Shows everybody what the love that God has for them. But then he puts it in his disciples. He says this, you are the light of the world. Guess what's happening? That same command that God had in the beginning, let there be light, it's still going. God still wants this world to be full of light. And that's why you're here. The fire can't go out. Jesus said, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Meaning this, no one lights a lamp and says, oh, I'm on fire. And then you go to school like, oh, snap, I ain't going to show this. Man, people might think I'm weird. Man, people might think I'm like strange. People might think I'm not like them. You're not. People might think I'm this. People might think I'm that. Listen, you're the light of the world. Those people don't see. What you do in secret, what you do with God, what you do when you put yourself in front of that word, when you do those core things, being consistent with God, you might not feel it, you might not think it, you might not even see it, but it makes a difference for other people. You're the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds, meaning this, let the way you live shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Listen, let your good deeds. What does that mean? Don't be like everybody else. When somebody comes at you sideways and the normal thing is to try to cuss them out and be like, well, you know what? Your mama is boom, boom, boom. Did you hear about what Susie said to you? What she say? What Susie say to me? I don't know. I just thought Susie was the first thing I thought of. When somebody starts gossiping about you, when somebody's talking sideways about you, guess what? You reveal light and not the way that they think. Listen, how do you shine your good deeds? It's you loving people the way God loves people. Before you can love people like God loves people, you got to know the love of God for yourself. That's where, man, God, the fire of God is, I want that because that's your love. God is love and God is an all-consuming fire. So I'm that, wait a second, I need to know his love so I can burn brightly. God has given you everything to do all things that he's called you to do. Everything, meaning being in your school, being a light. It really comes back down to, man, just getting to know his love. Let your good deeds shine out to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Keeping your light on will benefit others. But again, the problem is this. We're in the last days, right? You've been hearing that all your life if you've been in church. We're in the last days. Jesus is coming back. Who's heard that? You heard that. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Listen, I used to hear that as a kid too. People like, Jesus come back. I'm like, oh snap, Jesus come back. Oh my goodness, I gotta get my life right. Like, I'm like 7, 12, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'm like, Jesus, come back. Jesus, come back. Oh, snap, I got to get my life right. And growing up, you're like, Jesus, come back. Oh, Jesus, did Jesus come back? Did Jesus come back, though? Maybe in my kid's lifetime. I don't know. Then as I get older and older and older, and then when I start actually living for Jesus, like, really going hard and like really taking it seriously and really having a relationship with him. Y'all, I'm 27, not that old. All y'all was like, Pastor Sam, you old. I'm 27, 27's not old. Don't do that. That's messed up. Y'all mess up for that. But I can say this with all my heart, y'all, Jesus is coming back. Like, Jesus is coming back. But the problem is this: the last days, people's love for God will grow cold. Meaning this, that the light that they once had gets snuffed out. Miko, wake up. I'm saying some important stuff, man. We're in the last days, man. People's light grows cold. People's love grows cold. And Jesus has this crazy, interesting parable that he has in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. We're about to break this down and then we're going to pray. Matthew 25, 1 through 13 says this. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Some say bridesmaids. Some of y'all like bridesmaids. We're talking about weddings? Yeah, we're going to talk about a wedding. Who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. Say foolish. Say uh-oh. And 5 were wise. But the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil when the bridegroom was delayed. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. Someone say sleep. They all fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. What's this? What am I talking about in this parable? First and foremost, this has got three key figures, or 4 key figures. We got the bridesmaids, got 10 of them. You know what a bridesmaid is? Bridesmaid, okay. A bridesmaid is someone who accompanies the bride on the wedding day, or groomsmen, like we're with the groom. Bible says this, that man, when we get saved, that guess what? We're friends of the bridegroom. So in this parable, you got Jesus talking about 10 bridesmaids, meaning this, that 10 people who are in his party. Who's ever been to a wedding? Yeah, weddings. Did you have fun at that wedding? Weddings are lit. Weddings are fun. I always love going. I've been in so many weddings because I'm tall and I'm friends with a lot of people and I take good pictures. And bridesmaids and groomsmen, they have a lot of responsibility. And in this parable, you see the bridesmaids, they have the responsibility. Actually, they're in the bridegroom's party, and their responsibility is actually to have their lamps and to be ready to invite people to the wedding party. But 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise, but the wise ones, they had extra oil. You know the cool thing about oil? It's synonymous in the Bible with the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Word, how you need fire. Guess what? That's oil too. Y'all been to a cookout? You put some coal, you get some lighter fluid, you light that thing on fire. There it is. You need oil. They didn't have some oil. But when the bridegroom was delayed, they became drowsy and fell asleep. Sleep is pretty, it's pretty cool. I love sleep. Who loves sleep? I love sleep. Listen, y'all, I love sleep so much. I go to sleep at like I try to go to sleep at 9 o'clock. My fun days, I go to sleep at like 8:30. Yes. I love sleep that much. I love sleep that much. But sleep can be dangerous as well. Listen to me. Sleep can be dangerous. Sleep, you can fall asleep at the wrong times. If it's late at night and we're driving, you're in the car with Pastor Sam, I'm driving, it's late at night, guess what? And I'm kind of dozing off. That's a bad time to fall asleep, right? What's going to happen? I'll fall asleep at the wheel. Boom, get in an accident. Listen, falling asleep ain't good. Because here's the thing. Here's what 1 Thessalonians says. 1 Thessalonians 5:5-8. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness at night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. You know the problem, you know what the thing about darkness is? When things get dim, it makes you tired. If we dim this whole room, it can start getting dim and it starts getting dark. I guarantee if we had the service, all y'all would be asleep. All y'all, not just Miko. Miko's like, man, I had a hard life. Listen, when things get dark, when things get dim, it's really easy to fall asleep. Super easy to fall asleep. But 1 Thessalonians says this, but you are not children of the night or of the darkness. You are children of the light. Listen, it's super easy when everybody's doing the things that they want to do, and that looks fun. Super easy to be like everybody else. Everybody's just living a life of pleasure and doing what they want. Super easy to try to be like that, but guess what? They're falling asleep. They're already asleep. Things are dark. Don't fall asleep. Because why? 1 Thessalonians. Be on guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. Another thing about being drunk, you can get drunk on anything. Not just alcohol. You can get drunk on anything. You can get drunk on, like, okay, think of it like this. Listen, being drunk means this. You over-intoxicated yourself on something. Let's put it in our own life. Man, I can over-intoxicate on TV. I can over-intoxicate on my video games. I can over-intoxicate on social media. I can over-intoxicate with my friends. I can over-intoxicate with, like, you can over-intoxicate with everything. You can get drunk off of stuff. That's why it says, hey, be clear-headed. How do you be clear-headed? By his word, by this relationship with him. Stay up, stay alert. Don't be drunk at night. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. I'm about to close with this. You see, in the parable, you have 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. The foolish ones didn't carry enough oil, meaning this. They didn't really have a sustained relationship. There's going to be many people in the last days, meaning today. And unfortunately, if you don't hear this word, could be you. That you start off well, that you know, that you go to church and that you're like, oh yeah, I know God. And then throughout your life, you get colder and colder and colder. It gets getting darker and darker and darker, and your life goes out. And guess what? When the time does come where Jesus comes back, or when you die, the thing is going to be like this. Well, I started out a bridesmaid, but he's going to look at you and say, well, if you were, then why weren't you awake? If you were, where was your light? You see, The five wise, they carried extra oil. Meaning this, that man, even if there was delay, they would be prepared. But you know what? After reading this so many times and after hearing this, like, I saw there's three positions that you can be. You could be like the five wise or the five foolish. Or you can be the one that was actually shouting, saying, the bridegroom is coming, prepare the way. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to go to sleep. Because here's the thing. It's not even about us making it to heaven. That is a big part. Yep. But it's about us inviting people to the party. I want to be that voice that says, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to go to sleep just because it's getting dark. I want to burn brightly. I don't know about y'all, but I don't just want to take what I hear from church and say, and just put it in my pocket, put it under a basket and say, well, that's nice. And I get darker and darker and darker to the point of, man, do I even know Jesus anymore? It's not about what I've been learned. It's not even about where I've been gone to. It doesn't matter if I've been going to church all my life. It doesn't even matter if I know the books of the Bible. It doesn't matter if I know scripture. It's, do I know him? Is my light burning bright that other people acknowledge that, man, there's something different. Man, am I in the position where I can say and shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to be the foolish, and I want to be wise, but I also want to be the person who would be shouting as well. I want you to stand up. I want you to close your eyes. This is a heavy message because listen, especially, well, this parable is a heavy, heavy, heavy parable because Jesus says, man, people aren't going to make it because of their being unwise. You being on fire is how people see. You being on fire is how you're like him. But you being on fire is how you're going to make it. I said this last week. The days of you just knowing and hearing the word, two times a week, the days of you just worshiping two times a week, the days of all that, of just being, well, having a sustained relationship with God because you just come to church two times a week, it's over. Or one time a week, it doesn't matter. It's over. This has to be a daily thing. This has to be a consistent thing. This love that God, that is God, has to be in your heart. And it has to be fed every single day. This is a warning. Because the Bible says people aren't going to make it. Because it's the last days. Because the love for many will grow cold. This is a warning because, man, I don't just want to make it, though. I want to invite people to the party. I want to be a friend of the bridegroom. I want to be like those bridesmaids who had the lamp who could lead people to the party. I want you to close your eyes. If you're in this place and you say, man, first and foremost, I don't know if I'm even a part of that. I don't know if I'm a part of those bridesmaids or my friend of the bridegroom, and I might be in the dark. If you feel like that, man, that you're in the dark and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life, the fact that you need him, the fact that man, that he came, died on the cross for your sin, that you would be out of darkness and that you would be placed in the light. If you're in this place and you said you never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he came for you, he died for you, he rose for you, and you can have relationship with him. If you're in this place and you've never received Jesus Christ, raise your hand right now. We'll pray. So is anybody? I'll take my time when it comes to this because it's eternity. And I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Is anybody in here who has never received Jesus Christ? Awesome. Then I want you, everybody, just eyes on me then. Here's the thing. This is awesome because that means that parable, man, is definitely for us. I don't want to be, I don't know about, again, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the foolish. Who doesn't want to be the foolish? Who wants to be the wise? That's good. But who wants to be the person who's given the shout? Look, here's Jesus. He's coming. That's good. Arms wide open then. Raise your hands right now. God, I pray right now for each and every single student in here, Lord, that the fire of God would be in him, that the oil for their lamps, God, they would have. God, as we've been talking about just how to keep the fire burning, Lord, that it comes down to us, Lord, just fellowshipping with you in the word, prayer, that it's us, God, making an altar. It's us being the sacrifice, letting your fire burn all the things that aren't us and igniting who we are. And it's us being consistent, God. As we've been learning and hearing that, Father, we pray right now, Lord, that this would be something that we would take for ourselves, and that, God, just like in this parable, God, that we would be the five wise, and that we would be the person who is shouting, look, here is Jesus, come and meet him. God, we don't want to hear this as just another thing, but God, as a warning. God, we don't want to grow cold. We want this love that you have for us to grow and grow. So I just bless, Lord, every single student, every single leader, God, who just responds to be that light, to be that shout. God, we take that on our own and Holy Spirit, reveal this truth, God. Let it, Lord, come back to remembrance, God, that we don't want to be foolish, but that we want to be wise, and we want to be friends of the bridegroom. We want to be those bridesmaids. We want to be those groomsmen, God, who invite people to the party. In the name of Jesus, amen. Blessed, 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 blessed. Awesome, awesome, awesome.